The Enneagram 3, known as the Achiever. Threes are self-assured, attractive, and charming. Ambitious, competent, and energetic, they can also be status conscious and highly driven for advancement. They're diplomatic and poised, but can be overly concerned with their image and what others think of them. They typically have problems with workaholism and competitiveness. Their key motivations are a want to be affirmed, to distinguish themselves from others, to have attention, to be admired, and to impress others. Welcome to the Enneagram Unplugged, the podcast where we get to sit down and spend some quality time with each number on the Enneagram. Through questions and shared personal experiences, we hope that this show will leave you feeling a little more connected, encouraged, and enlightened as you continue along your Enneagram journey. We're your hosts, Ashley Danner
and Kristen Steed.
Huge fans of the Enneagram and friends and coworkers here at Christ United. Please feel free to always reach out to us if you have any questions about our show.
And today we get to sit down with Casey Erdman, our director of the Children's Discovery Center, also called our preschool here at the church, and an Enneagram 3. Welcome, Casey.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to talk about Enneagram 3.
Woohoo! I'm a 3 as well, and so I'm excited to hear your side of being a 3.
Awesome. You can help me out figuring out what it means for me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think we're probably on the same boat. I'm still learning for sure. But if you can, could you tell us a little bit about the basics of the number that you know for the threes?
Sure. Well, what I really connect with is the not so much like the name, the achiever, the performer, but that the three is considered the original type A. And when I read that, I was like, well, I'm pretty sure that's me. Just check the box. Let's keep going. The three has a lot of emotional energy and they channel that towards being productive. And so I find that's true in not only the way that I do each day, but also the energy that I just carry around. I feel like I'm always kind of amped up about getting things done and getting tasks accomplished and making lists and checking them off and just being praised for all those things. I know it sounds silly, but even as an adult, I do like to be praised for the work that I do, the work I'm doing well. And sometimes internal praise isn't enough for me, which I'm working on. But I totally connect with all of those aspects of the Enneagram 3.
Totally understand. How long have you been researching or learning about the Enneagram for?
Well, in the sense that an Enneagram 3 gets things done, I already learned about the Enneagram once and that's done. I did learn about it maybe 3 years ago and I did a lot of deep dive into it. And I just feel like I'm trying to learn more about the other numbers because whenever I was researching numbers, there were a lot of numbers that I knew that I wasn't, and I kind of scanned over those. And so for the past 3 years, I've been trying not to read so much my own number and those others that I think I kind of identify with more, but I'm diving more into the other ones. So I'm actually really excited to learn more through this podcast by listening to the other numbers too.
Awesome. Yeah, it's really nice to hear that, and especially how you can be in a relationship with those other numbers.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It widens your viewpoint, not just of like other people, but how you and other people interact as well. You know, how you come off on others, which me as a 2 is probably what I always want to know. But what was the journey like for discovering your type? Like when you initially started looking into the Enneagram, was it obvious to you initially that you were a 3? Or did you think that you were possibly other numbers? What did you sort through on the way to deciding on 3?
So I first learned about the Enneagram whenever I was starting a new position at a job. I was a co-director with another woman, and we were really intentional about building our relationship with our program. And so she was actually an Enneagram 9, and she knew that, but I didn't know what I was. I had never learned about the Enneagram. So initially I thought I was a 1, mm-hmm. because I have a lot of perfectionist tendencies. And I came to realize that it was the intent of my perfectionism made me a three versus a one. I found that I want things to be done in a certain way because they make me feel good or look good versus because it's the right way to do things.
I totally relate to that.
Yeah. So, which made me feel like a terrible person. but that was, I was really, whenever I thought for sure, I'm either a one, a three, or an eight, just due to like the, I don't know, the just the general energy that like lives in my body drew me those numbers. And then I kind of narrowed it down from there. And just the productivity aspect of the three just made me keep going back to that. And I think that I was listening to a podcast once that just said, something about like, if you can't stop working because it gives you the energy you need to be happy, then you're a three. And that stuck with me because it does. It's like, some people might read the Enneagram 3 and say overworked, like that's a negative. And for me, the work comes from within, and it's what drives that, like the rush of adrenaline is what makes me feel like I'm doing what I need to be doing right now. This is what gives me joy.
I totally get that. And I, as a three as well, like that's the same with my energy, but then I kind of get confused with my energy if it's excited or anxious. I don't know if you're like that, but I can push through my feelings so hard to get things done that I'm running on my endurance. And then when I stop, it's like, I can't release that energy sometimes without having to go to a quiet place, as I've learned now.
Oh, absolutely. Just yesterday I finished like a big thing at work and my heart was pumping so fast. And I thought, okay, I feel anxious. No, I'm excited that I finished that thing. Like I was really proud. And like, I'm still kind of, you know, we're getting ready for school and I'm feeling very accomplished in the things that we're doing, but anxious about what's to come. And I can't divide those feelings right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel good too. Cause I have that notion all the time. And I get so, it's almost like addiction. I get addicted to completing things and getting them done. And then I just want to keep going. And it's not healthy for me, as I know now. But it used to be, I used to get praised for that. So it was really hard to stop because it was just like, oh my goodness, look at all the stuff you've done. And I'm like, I got to keep going. But mm-hmm. that's also the three in me hearing those outside praises come into play.
Exactly. Well, and like Marie Kondo, she's like the worst for threes. Like, yes. You know, you make one space and like some people will like just Instagram it and be happy with it. And all you can see is like the rest of the spaces that are not done, right?
Oh yes, I had a breakup with Marie Kondo. I discovered her when I moved into the new house and it became an obsession. And it's funny because, you know, for a while like you, I also thought I was a one, but I can be very messy, but it just depends on what is my perfectionist obsession, I would say at the time. Mm-hmm. And so then for a while I was just really obsessed with having my house in order. And then it just got to an unhealthy place that I just had to throw Marie Kondo out the window. But it was hard to recognize at first because it looked really like good.
Yeah. Well, and another difference between one and three that I really realized was the ones can be really, to what I understand, at least, like self-deprecating. Is that mm-hmm. right? Like they can think like there's like something.
Getting down on themselves really.
Yeah. A whole lot. That's mm-hmm. literally never happened to me in my life. I read something that said like a three knows that they are capable of doing anything, even if it's impossible. And my mom used to tell me growing up, she would be like, you know what? I think you have a self-confidence problem. And she'd be like, yeah, like you have too much of it. we would talk about how the teenage years can be really hard because, you know, especially, you know, dealing with self-confidence, she was like, yeah, your problem is that you have too much.
That is so funny. I also, though, it is funny because like there's, you know, people who feel like they're not enough, and that's not really my problem. My problem is I feel like there's not enough time for me to do everything. Like mm-hmm. usually it's because mm-hmm. I haven't done enough. Not that I can't do it. I just haven't had time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later, but I think the biggest downfall of that worth piece is, especially when you're talking about your faith, finding worth in maybe the wrong things because you're worried about the wrong list, the wrong priorities.
Mm. Absolutely. I read Present Over Perfect by Shauna Nyquist mm-hmm. a couple of years ago. And she's actually a 7. I always kind of, if I know their Enneagram type, I like to take the books with a little bit of certain knowledge of that too. But it's mm-hmm. still, this piece really applied to me. She said that, which is not new. It just struck me a different way hearing it from her, is that God doesn't love me any less or any more today than he did yesterday, no matter the things I've done or I haven't done. And it was like, oh, like I don't need to do things to earn his love. And that was really relevant for what the season I was in.
I love that. And, you know, the 7s, they fear failure as well. And so I think that's the way that 3s and 7s can connect is, you know, never wanting to realize that, you know, what we've done isn't good enough.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So as a 3, what aspects of your number do you feel like you see most of the time during your everyday life?
I would say efficiency is probably like the number one adjective I'd use to describe myself. And I think that can be a problem in my relationships just because I'm always like moving so quickly. And so I've had to really slow myself down. Whenever I was teaching, I had a principal that told me that I just need to slow down and talk and make room for things that don't matter. And that really stuck with me. And even just slowing down the speed in which I talk, slowing down before I talk about something that I think is important, talking about something I think someone else might find important. And so that's one aspect I feel like comes up the most because most of my day is not with other 3s. Now my husband also is a 3. So we actually,
oh, interesting.
So we understand each other in that regard, but, and kind of roll in that same direction. But we also have to make sure that we're taking enough time to slow down and make things that we might not normally find a priority, be a priority to. So efficiency, definitely. External praise. I've worked on that since I was like maybe 5, right? Doing something because I'm proud of it and because it's right. Versus because other people are going to think it's great or useful or worthy. So I feel like the external praise is a daily thing for me. And I'm lucky that I do have coworkers that I work with and a husband they, you know, work with that mm-hmm. are aware that that's something that's important to me. And they don't just tell me, well, that's dumb. You know, they make a point to give me that praise that I do need, because even though I realize that that's not the praise, that's not what should be driving me. It does. And it's, I was born like that. So I feel like that comes out in my day too.
That makes sense. Sounds like, and just from knowing both of you and knowing Kristen really well, you kind of talk about, you know, not having enough time or, wanting to do more. Do y'all and you talk about wanting to slow down. As y'all have like matured and gotten older, do you feel like there's become more and more space in between your next thing, between the thing you're obsessing about or focusing on or excited about at the time and your next big project? Or do you feel like you just more reasonably use your time? Like, I just am interested because I know Kristen's book list. And I'm always wondering, like, and I feel like it does ebb and flow with downtime, but do you see that as you look backwards?
I would say it is a struggle bus for me. Ooh, buddy. I would say that I will ebb and flow. Like I will go, 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 go. then I'll crash and realize it's because I hadn't been slowing, I hadn't been meditating, I hadn't been present. And so then I'll have a good spout of being present and being slower, and then maybe a new project will come up at work. And it's like, and again, mm-hmm. I'm excited about these things, so it's really hard for me to slow down. And then I get excited and I move mm-hmm. forward. But I will say, I mean, I even did it this week. I got really, y'all, I got over the top excited about Star Wars movie night. Like, I can't even explain it. Like, and I just kept telling myself,
so
I'm like,
well, because of that, though.
Well, I know, but that's the thing. And it's funny for me because not only do I want like the outside praise, but I also want to internally know, like, I did the best I could. And I'm like, it's freaking Star Wars movie night. But it just was so fun. But I didn't slow down since last Friday. And mm-hmm. I hit a wall where I wasn't sleeping Tuesday night. And luckily, it took me a lot less time than it normally does to realize that. And so mm-hmm. I think that's what I'm learning, especially with the work of the Enneagram, is now mm-hmm. I'm knowing the trigger point to what happened and how slowing down can help.
Mm. Yeah, I think that an Enneagram 3 is going to hear the word slow and feel like it's heaven. You know, they're like, wow, one day I will get to have that life too. I was talking to one of my friends and she was telling me that they don't do things on the weekends. Like, they like hang out at their house and that's when they fold their laundry and stuff. And I like could not wrap my brain around that. I was like, what do you mean? So like, y'all didn't leave the house. You didn't leave the house. This was before quarantine. I was like, you didn't leave the house this entire weekend. Like, I literally went to 10 places before noon on Saturday. And that was just like to get ready for the afternoon. And so whenever I started to talk about to my other friends about their weekends look like, and they're like, how did you have 5 play dates today? I don't even understand. I was like, well, those are all the people that I want in my circle and I need to develop those relationships. Like, I feel yeah. like my life is a faucet and it's always on. It's just, is it on the work faucet? Is it on the family faucet? And like, for me, slow means getting like really like a deep water of family. And so my slow is not going to look like someone else's slow. Slow to me is going to be just like working on my family. Like, and we have a family planning meeting every Sunday where we have a calendar where we plan out our goals for the week with my 5 and 6 year old. Like, that's, I know that's bananas, but to me, that's me investing in them in the way I know how. And investing in our lives as intentionally as I invest in my work or in my personal goals. And that's the way that I breathe into what I consider the slow, right? Mm. I'm putting in the same amount of effort into the things that, quote, you know, fill my heart up as fill up, you know, other buckets in my life.
And I think you also bring up a good point, though, because I think people that usually think the threes are very work focused, but we don't only want to be really good at our jobs. We also want to be the best mothers and the best wives and the mm-hmm. best parents. Like, it's, we want to, yeah, we want, and it's not, for me, it's not a competition. I want to be my best self. And so I know what I need to do to get there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I'm not here to compete with anyone. Like, no. I want everybody to be the best, but I know what I need to do to be my best, right?
And yes.
And in the way that I said I'm not critical like a one, I feel like three critical. Like, I know where my holes are and I know what work I need to do to get better, but I'm not down on myself because I'm not like I actually don't have mom guilt.
Tell me how.
I don't know. I don't. I don't know. I think part of me just recognizes the work I'm doing. And awesome. I don't know. I just feel like I'm intentional about what I'm doing, and the choices I make and the sacrifices I make are intentional and I feel good about them. I don't know. I don't. I talk to my husband about all that all the time. I'm like, gosh, I feel really blessed that I don't feel mom guilt, because I guess I trust that I made the right decisions in you know, if someone else is caring for my children, I believe that those are the best people to care for my children at that time. Or if, you know, our house is a mess, I feel like that was the best choice. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's great for people to hear.
And that's a good segue. Can you share a time or an example of a time when you recognized that you were spending time in your security or your stress numbers? Like when you're dealing with those certain things, do you ever slide? What are the three security and stress numbers?
6 and 9.
Like, do you mm-hmm. recognize when you're going to those places, or because, you know, those are a refuge for you when you are feeling secure or feeling stressed. They're often people think that when you're acting badly, you're going to those numbers, when actually, apparently, when you're going to those, that's the healthiest place for you to be when you're feeling secure or feeling stressed, supposedly, which was kind of like a new thing I learned during the making of this podcast. But are there times when you recognize that in your days or weeks or what have you?
You know, I'm going to struggle finding goodness in those, because whenever I read, at least, you know, in my unhealthy levels where I am, it's just not good. Meredith said this in her podcast, like, I knew I was in one because whenever I heard them say that, it made me, you know, so uncomfortable. And that's how I feel whenever I read those, like, and they're so true. Like, it says a level 9, whenever they're unhealthy, it's you attempt to ruin others' happiness and you're a psychopathic behavior. I'm reading from the Enneagram Institute. And it's funny because I only read those not about a 9, but I'm reading those. I'm like, yeah, I'm psychopathic. Sometimes I am. Because I can get jealous, especially if I don't get that, that praise that I'm looking for. I can feel jealous of someone else receiving praise. And to me, that's a little psychopathic. Whenever I'm thinking of my own self, right? Like, I don't want those feelings to come from my heart, but I recognize they're there. I can feel, like, I don't want someone else to feel that way, to feel successful if I'm not feeling successful myself. So that can be a place that I slide to.
What about you, Kristen?
I'd say when I go to my stress, when I go to the 9, mine is definitely more of it's the unhealthy 9, but it's definitely the peacekeeper mode. And I see that, I've seen seasons of it where I just was so stressed out, I haven't been striving for anything. And it's the seasons that I spent more time on the couch, or the seasons that I spent more time just alone. And I also see it, though, sometimes just in situations. I really do not like conflict. Like, it makes me very uncomfortable. And so if I've tried to have a conflict, and then if I realize it's just not going to go my way, then I will absolutely just give in. Like, I'll just be like, that's fine. Let's just do whatever you want to do. That's fine. We'll just move on. So I see that, where that kind of plays out, and I've learned to notice that. So I recognize it. But I think sometimes I have needed to go to my 9 if I've just been in a stressful period of my life, and I do just need, that's when I'll actually take a break and let myself just be, instead of push. Mm-hmm. But with that 6, I never really thought about the 6 before. It was interesting when I heard the 6 was the place that 3s go into health, because sometimes I feel like a 6 can be, they describe it using the word anxious, which I don't really think is the correct term that I would mm-hmm. necessarily apply to it. Mm-hmm. But when I'm in my 6 place, I feel like I am a bad A problem solver. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I not only am looking at, like, how do we get it done? I am looking at, like, all the 20 million what ifs, and they don't overwhelm me. I'm like, okay, challenge accepted. This is what we'll do in this. This is what we'll do here. And so I just love when I get in that 6 mode, to be honest.
I feel like I'm in that 6 mode right now, thinking about going back to school, sending our kids back to the school district. I read it the same way too. It said anxious and worrisome, and I don't feel anxious or worrisome. I almost welcome that worry, because some words that I read were rush into action, and not rush in a negative sense. It's more like boldly face action. And I like what you said about how, you know, you go into problem solving mode. I do feel like I have in my life rushed into action where it wasn't healthy. But that it came from the confidence I have that I can be a quick problem solver or a bold leader in sense of that. My husband and I bought and sold 3 houses in 2 years because we kept trying to solve various problems that we had, and improving our life in various ways. And I feel like that was one thing that was healthy in a lot of ways for us, but it also probably us both being 3s was maybe not the best mixture in that time of our lives.
We needed a referee.
That's so interesting that y'all are both 3s. It really could be good and bad, right? Because you know where you're coming from, but you also, really understand what the person's thinking.
Yeah.
So the 3's wounding message, or their message that they might have received as a child, intentionally or unintentionally, is that it's not okay to have your own feelings and identity. Do you feel like that's something you can identify with or not really?
You know, at first I would say no. Like, I was in every single way brought up to have my own convictions. But the more I look at this, I think probably my mom is an 8, I think. Mm-hmm. She has never studied the Enneagram, but if I were to have to guess, and I feel like because of that model that my mom gave me, I felt so confident in having my own feelings and identity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But also growing up in a house with other, powerful voices can also make me think, well, those are the right ones, and make me maybe not have the same, time, ability to form some of my own feelings and some of my own identities. So I think being a young adult was very formative for me. And then being a mom by myself was very formative in me and trying to figure out who I am, what I believe. Mm-hmm. And so I actually do find, I don't think I call it a wounding message. I mean, that's pretty dark, but, right. And I don't want to like fault anybody, but I think whenever, I look at this, like maybe part of what made me a 3 was not only the role model of my mother's strong personality and her always telling me I could be anything I wanted, but also me maybe feeling I need to upstage that. Feeling I need to do that for myself and live up to that. I don't know. I think it would definitely be unintentionally communicated, if anything. And I don't feel like it's a negative feeling at all.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Kristen?
Yeah, I kind of on Casey's terms, like you see it and I'm like, no. But I mentioned last podcast with Reagan, who talked about the 2s, and their wounding message also has about basically not having your own feelings as well. And so being a 3-wing too, it really makes sense for me. And as I mentioned last time, I have a younger sister who's deaf. And so obviously unintentionally, I knew at a young age where focus needed to be on her. And I just was mm-hmm. very, very independent. I remember, my mom was a full-time working mom too, also very strong. Also always saw her as being this woman that could do anything. So I also grew up knowing I could do anything as a woman. But I also see myself very easily as a young child. I really am a chameleon. Even to this day, I'm trying very hard to find my own identity, and saw that even through, I was thinking about that. I know we talk about Harry Potter every single episode.
Yes,
so,
we do.
This is our Harry Potter shout out. But I was even thinking about this all the way through college. I remember freshman year, I had a group of friends who were into Harry Potter and it just came out. And so I read that first book in like a day, took my little cousins to watch the movie, loved it, thought it was great. And then the next year I had a whole new group of friends. Now, no one ever said like, we don't read Harry Potter, but no one else was reading Harry Potter, right? So I just mm-hmm. knew the social thing was in this group of friends, we're not into Harry Potter. So I never picked up the book again. I never read any. I never watched any more movies after that one and done. It was just not the group I hung out in. And so really in these last couple of years, like I picked Harry Potter back up. I just finished book four. I love it. And so I'm really trying to discover what my own identity is. And I think just from a young age, I've always just been able to adapt too much to those that are around me.
I can totally relate with that. I mean, just the phrase chameleon, I use that a lot to describe myself. And sometimes it can be a good thing, right? Like I feel like even my career path has been such that I can really jump into any role. And I feel like I can be pretty successful in my role. And that's a positive. But like you said, the unintended consequences of being able to shapeshift include, you know, your inner emotions regarding that. And then just the fallout of maybe not having a clear path of what you want for yourself. I mean, it puts a lot into other people's hands. I think that's what's been really great about being married to another three is we have been able to form that identity together. And as we can trace back our past, either relationships or friendships or career paths, we look back and be like, oh yeah, well, that's whenever I used to really be into XYZ. That's funny. I've also, you know, tried to do things that I think, you know, a lot of the times the hobbies I pick up are not really because I like them. It's because I want to be able to enjoy time with other people. And so that's great. Cause like I'm confident enough to be like, sure, I'll try mountain biking. But then after I fell down the hill for the first time and got like completely scraped up, I still have like a shark bite on my leg permanently. I finally, you know, got the guts to say like, okay, this isn't for me.
So hard to say that because it feels like failure being like, well, I guess this one isn't it.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I don't know so much if it's about just coming of age in general or if it's about being an Enneagram 3. I feel like young adult life, and I think for whatever reason in my life, I feel like finding my identity had more weight once I had children. And so I felt like I was free to be myself and to have my own parenting style and my own clothing style. Once I had kids, I felt like more of, I don't know, an adult in that situation. I don't know why. I needed that permission.
I agree with that. I also felt free to get rid of friends that I didn't need. I don't know. Being a mom also, I became more confident in a lot of different areas, which is weird. But that's when I was able to ground myself and like, this is who I am and who I want to be.
Right. I think for me, it might have come anyway if I had reached that same age.
Sure.
But I think part of it too was my convictions. I was able to point to something else and say, this is why. Like, I'm doing this for my kids because I know it's best for my kids. And so it was almost like it was a sense of being productive in that manner, right? In order to become the best mom I'm going to be, I need to create an identity or I need to figure out what I believe about this and not just follow my friends and, you know, things like that. So I think I also allowed more people's opinions into my life once I became a mom. Because there were more topics that I needed help on. So I was able to see more viewpoints and then choose the one that I believed in.
That's awesome. I mean, and I feel like there's always a turning point for when you decide to do that. But it's interesting that threes, you know, I feel like twos and threes are similar in that way. We kind of need a justification. At least I do. As a two, I spend way too much time arguing with myself about what is approvable as far as, I don't know, just, well, this will help this person and this will help this person if I do this. So even though that's what I want to do, that's also the correct thing to do.
Yeah, you can just kill two birds with one stone.
Exactly. Casey, what would you say is your number's superpower? What does your number like let you do that you think enhances the life of others and yourself?
Man, that's a hard question. I would say that I've touched on this a couple more times, but the ability to say yes to things that need to happen in our community. Mm. You know, I feel like no matter what the problem is, I can be part of the solution. I might not be the solution, but I know, I think I can be an integral part of finding the solution through either my problem solving skills, through some of my just sheer passion towards, you know, making the community a better place, and just being willing to put in just the work it takes to get where I need to be. I think that's the superpower is, and it all comes down to wanting to be productive and wanting to be efficient. And, mm-hmm. and I think whenever myself or I see another person who is, who identifies as an Enneagram 3, choose to do something, it can make a really big difference.
I love that. What about you, Kristen? Anything else?
Yeah, I think a few things I do really like about being a three. I think that we're very creative. I feel like before I walk into church, I've thought of 10 different ideas. Now, they're usually big, dreamable ideas that aren't always going to be able to take off. But I love using my imagination to think of creative ways to do different things or solve different problems. So that's really fun. I also think that, the chameleon, well, it can be hard, but it's also kind of wonderful that I really feel like I could walk into a room and find something in common with just about anyone that I talk to. Mm-hmm. I really look at everyone as just like a friend that hasn't become my best friend yet. There's this funny story that forever ago, whenever Trent and I were going on our honeymoon, we were walking into the airport lobby that we were going from Puerto Rico then to our destination in Antigua. So everyone that was getting on that plane, we were all going to basically the same Sandals resort. Mm-hmm. And I was wearing my cute little white bride shirt and I was so excited. And then there was this other gal there who was also wearing a bride shirt. And so later we find out, we become friends with them, because the first thought I have is, oh my gosh, they're our new best friends. Like, I can't wait. This is going to be amazing. And we did end up becoming best friends with them. And they were actually going to have their wedding there. And they didn't even have anyone else with them. So Trent and I were their matron and best man. Because,
oh my gosh.
Obviously. And so that evening, though, after a few cocktails, the groom was like, hey, you know what's funny? Whenever Lindsay, the bride, first saw you in another white bride shirt, she was like, oh my gosh, I hate her. But I think that's like really a good example of a three, because instead I was like, we are going to be best friends. And obviously that I didn't even know that was a challenge going into it, but I would have highly accepted that anyways. So I think that's one of our superpowers, which is, you know, winning over others too, for sure. Awesome. But it can be fun and adventurous being a three.
I can relate to that. We're in a neighborhood that is turning over. A lot of new families are coming in. So I, like, it is the highlight of my week when I see a for sale sign go up on my street. Yes. We're going to get a new family. That's what it means. And I am like, The realtors like know me, I think, because whenever I see people going in for showings, I'll like casually walk by and be like, hey, y'all kids.
And how old are they?
So I actually have a text group of all the people that have moved into our street in the last 3 years. And we actually communicate on a regular basis. And one of my friends just laughed. She's like, you're just like the glue that sticks us all together. And it's not because of really anything I'm continuing to do, but it was like that one yes moment of being like, we're going to be friends, and just having that enthusiasm to be like, hey, you're new, come with me. I know other people. So that is really cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. Did that in our neighborhood too, for sure.
That is a superpower.
So Casey, what advice do you have for others who are threes that are trying to reach that health of their number?
I think just seeing the good in all of your character attributes can be so powerful. I think I was a little embarrassed to be, you know, an achiever or a performer, because it seemed so shallow whenever I first read about it. Like, oh, so all I care about is being really good at stuff and getting lots of stuff done. That sounds like it's not really that admirable. And not worrying so much about what it makes you seem like, because that's something that a three will continuously be thinking, like, well, how does that make me sound? How does that make me seem? Are people going to think I'm X, Y, Z? And not worrying about that, but thinking about what good you bring to the table in your relationships, in your work, in your home, and to yourself, like, just how are you making the world better by being you? And I think I'll make you feel really good no matter what number you are. Mm-hmm. I think every number has just such a wealth of resources to bring life to yourself and others.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the not caring about as much about what other people think is huge for the threes too.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's also about, I'm big on meditating and quiet time, which we also think all the numbers should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just when I'm alone, that is when I'm able to really discover what are my true goals or what are my true values and what should I just toss aside because that's what someone else has put upon me that isn't mm-hmm. healthy for me. Mm-hmm. And I also heard on Hatmakers doing her Enneagram series too, and I listened to the one on the threes twice. It's with, I believe it's Lisa Welch, who used to play Blair on Facts of Life, which is hilarious.
Oh, that's funny.
Blair with the good hair. And she had a really interesting, it stuck with me. She said, because Jen asked a similar question to this, and she said, I want the threes to think about what it would mean to live just an ordinary life. Not an extraordinary life, but just live an ordinary life. And it was very powerful to me because I push myself so hard to dream bigger and do bigger. And it just kind of brought me down to like, well, what really do I want out of my life? I want a wonderful relationship with my kids. I want a beautiful marriage. Like I don't need to always think about pushing beyond those bounds per se. So it was just really interesting advice.
Yeah, that's good.
Awesome. Do you have any advice for people who are in relationships with threes in particular, either like romantically or friendship wise, things that are good to know?
One thing that I get a lot from my friends is like, why are you so busy? And almost making it seem like it's a negative. Mm-hmm. Where I have so much of my worth wrapped up in the things I do, the intentional choices I make, that it's really a part of my personality. So when someone says to me, why are you so busy all the time? Just sit down. That's like saying everything I'm doing is not important.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on where my mind is, right? Or where our relationship is, that can feel hurtful. Now, I might also know it's coming from like a really good place of like, I appreciate the work you're doing. I know the work you're doing is good, but you need to take care of yourself. I get that a lot, especially from my two friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I take it differently than someone who is just saying like, you're too busy, sit down. So it really is just in the messaging. And I think I need to be affirmed in what I'm doing is important, but also then built to be, you know, built up in ways that maybe I can't build myself up, like being ushered to be into quiet me here and there.
That makes sense. I think that it's, and you have an interesting perspective having a husband who's a three too. Has there been anything there that you've learned in relationship with him? Is there a different way that you come at him in the relationship?
You know, what's I think really interesting about us is that we both, you know, I feel like we understand each other in the sense of we both really do value the work that we do and we think it's really important and we think it's worth our time. So when I hear someone say something about their wife or their husband who works too much, like, gosh, they're just working too much. I try not to say that about my husband, even though I think it's true, because I know that he would say the same thing about me. And so I think that mutual respect of what work means to each other and how it fills us more than just in work. It fills me in my worth, in my life, in my energy. And so I think that that's really helped me work through the way I identify, just because I know that he's going through it too. And we talk about that a lot. He knows that whenever I decided to go back to the workplace, that it was a lot more.
How has it been being back in the workplace?
What do you mean?
Just in terms of thinking about your threeness, has that changed? I mean, how did you feel when you weren't working? And then how's that contrast now that you're back at work again?
You know, the thing I think about most is, you know, am I doing a good job in everything? I feel like whenever I decide to come back to work, because whenever I stayed home with my children at first, I was almost just replacing my work at home with, you know, from my work whenever I used to work in the school system. And so it was almost like my home became my work. And now I'm feeling like I'm having to divide it a little bit. And so my standard of good and better and best is harder to achieve. You know, sometimes you hear people say like, I'm doing everything poorly. Like I'm trying to be a good mom. I'm trying to be a good employee, a good wife. And I just feel like I'm doing them all poorly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I do feel like that, but I think most of the time I feel like I just, I used to play golf and I used to be a golf coach actually. And it used to feel like if I was good at putting, I was never good at driving, because you could only like give attention to one thing at a time. And the way I've divided my day takes that into account. When I'm at work, I can be really good at being at work. And when I'm at home, I can be really good at being at home. And so I try not to blur those lines. I just moved my computer back up to work after being home for quarantine. And I feel like that was the biggest move of my life, because when my work was at home, it was hard to be good at both. So I think just the physicality of leaving work at work and bringing home and being really good at home is important to me.
I like that. Rather than measuring your full day, measuring parts of your day. That sounds much more manageable to me.
I do wonder though, I know I can see it in my children, the way that my personality and my threeness is coming through in their personalities. I have one who's definitely a one, if you could type a kid, I don't know. And I just see so much of that being pressured by me. I think she feels like I have really high standards and I'm like, no, I want you to live an ordinary life. But she's seeing me say, but life should be extraordinary, you know? And so I'm trying to take that pressure off of her, but that's just in my words and in my life. She can see, oh, but mom, I know what you really expect, you know? And so trying to guide them in that way is hard.
I believe I said almost the similar thing last week about how I'm pretty sure my oldest is a one. And I just need to go to Meredith and say, how would you like to have been parented? Because I say, you know, like I don't feel like I'm super hard or anything. Like I'm like, no, it's fine. Like we'll go at your pace. But then I'm like, okay, so how many books are we going to read tonight? But, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's a tough line.
Yeah, no, well, and the thing is, I feel like it's totally internally driven for them. Like they just want to, they want to be, you know, achieving, and they have the internal motivation too, but theirs is a perfection thing where I can't relate in that same way. I'm like, no, just get it done fast.
Great. I think that's the thing that also made me realize I wasn't a one. I also spent a month in a place where I thought I was a one. And what I figured out, I don't know if you know your subtype, Casey, we haven't touched on subtypes in this podcast, and maybe we will after we do all the numbers, but finding my subtype being a self, preservation three was helpful because it's the subtype that can also get mixed up with the ones because we have a lot more rigor in us. And inside, I have this code of moral too. Like, I find it really hard to be vain, but I'm kind of deceiving myself because I kind of am vain, so to speak. But I knew I wasn't a one when it was like the ones just have to have everything perfect and they don't cut corners. I was like, oh, I'm out. Yeah. If I will get it done.
Yeah, no, I feel the same. I haven't done a lot of research into subtypes, but whenever I just read like even a short write-up on it, the self-preservation spoke to me too. And then I was not shocked to find out it was connected to the ones because I had so much of a hard time deciding between those two to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So interesting. So what would you say is your favorite and least favorite part about being a three?
The image consciousness part of being a three is really hard for me because I don't, in my heart, I know that's not who I want to be. I don't want to be concerned about what people think about me. But it's there. It definitely is. My favorite thing about my number is the energy I get from it. The just emotional wholeness I feel from being on kind of a path of productivity. I love the way I feel whenever I'm at my best, and the way that I can relate to others and be enthusiastic and their cheerleader. I feel like whenever I am in a good place, feeling productive and successful, that I can lift other people up too.
Mm. Yeah. I love that. Really cool. Mm-hmm. What about you, Kristen?
I also, I hate the image conscious thing. It's just, when I read that and when I used to tell people I was a three, I felt very naked that people would know that about me. And I just felt icky about it. But it's just a part of me. And I'm coming to accept that. And I'm doing work in the ways that it comes out. And then my favorite thing really is that just the creative energy around it. And looking at everyone as a friend that I'm just going to be able to be met to.
What do you wish people knew about being a three? Like, if there's one thing you could leave people with to remember about their three family members and three friends, what would it be?
I mean, I can only really say for me, I guess I can't speak for all the threes, but sure. The drive that I have isn't meant to run anyone else over. That I don't mean to be too busy. I don't mean to have too many things on my to-do list. I don't mean to be thinking about what I'm going to do next, even though I'm talking to you about something really important. And I really do have a gentleness and a slowness inside of me that I intentionally take into account. It's just that the energy I get can sometimes be pumping a little faster when I'm getting things done, but that I don't, and I don't mean to not partner or listen, and that sometimes I do need a reminder of that. Sometimes I need to pause and listen to others' input. And that I don't mean to rush to things. I can so quickly make a decision that I think is a very good one that sometimes I think I can leave others behind, but that it's not intentional at all.
That's really good.
Casey, what advice do you have for people that are just starting their Enneagram journey?
I would just say, just be open. I thought for sure that the best number was going to be two. And I was going to need to be a two because that's the best number. I thought, because that's helping others. And I think that whatever you're bringing to the table of what you think is the best, you're going to try to pick out. And you're going to say, like, whenever you read the descriptions, well, I think that the helper is the best. Not everyone's going to think that, but I want to be that. And you don't have to be what you think is the best, because like we've talked about before, every number has intrinsic qualities that God created us all to be different and important in our world. And so just be open to being something that isn't your first instinct. And also I would say, learn about the other numbers. I still need to do that more for myself, mm-hmm. because there's only so much you can know about yourself without understanding others. It's going to help you even more to know about others really than just yourself.
Great advice. Thank you, Casey.
I love that. Well, I guess as we start wrapping up, I am just so thankful that you stopped in to talk with us about this, Casey. And I hope that everyone who's listening has gotten a chance to hear a little more about threes and feel a little more connected, encouraged, and enlightened. I know it has for me. I've gotten to spend time with Casey on our other podcast, but it's always fun to get to talk about a different angle of our lives together. You know, it's a little less professional and a little more personal.
Yes, this was so much fun. Thanks for sitting down with us, Casey, and being so open and honest. Yeah, absolutely.
Giving you great vibes. I'm gonna have more to talk to tonight with my husband.
Absolutely.
Awesome. That's we hope all of these are conversation starters.
Absolutely, that's the name of the game right there. And to those of you out there who are listening and growing along with us, we're so glad to have you on this long journey with us. So until next time, love yourself, love others, and know that God loves you just the way you are. Talk to you soon. Bye.